Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency.
She says that a rumour has been spread that she is transgender. She says she's biological female, identifies as female, and that the rumour is untrue and cruel.
The question, it always comes back to toilets. I don't know why it does.
It's
always toilets. When we've got these really broad statements where people say the protection has been lost, you know, my status doesn't exist anymore, trans people have been erased. They haven't.
Just before we start, protect your business from the risk of tribunal, reduce legal costs, and save yourself from HR headaches with our Heroes software and employment law consultancy services.
We're back in the hot seat, just doing a bit of typing as well while I talk, because I can multitask.
Can you?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
Does your gender allow it?
Oh, stop. Yeah, we're starting that already, are we?
We are. Guess what we're talking about?
We're talking about gender, aren't we?
We are. We're going to do it.
We are. God, there's eggshells everywhere in the studio. I'm scared.
Yeah.
But let's crack on, eh? Let's see how much trouble we can get ourselves into.
Yeah, I think we start with the caveat of everything that we say comes from a place of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
To have academic debate and mm-hmm. never, ever, ever with the intention of ever offending or affecting somebody's dignity.
That's very well put. That's very well put. We're not qualified experts in this by any means.
Absolutely not.
So,
no.
Right, let's rip off the plaster. The title is, "They think I'm transgender. Is it discrimination?" Let's go. Email. "Hi Alyssa, we have had a grievance raised by an employee against their line manager. Georgia is claiming that her line manager is micromanaging her, being very abrupt and cold with her compared to other employees. She says this is because her line manager believes she is transgender." Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. "She says that a rumour has been spread that she is transgender. She says she is biological female and identifies as female, and that the rumour is untrue and cruel. I think I know what we need to do, but it is a sensitive topic, and I just want to be sure that we are doing this correctly." It is a sensitive topic.
Very, very, very sensitive topic. So in this situation, we've got Georgia, who was born a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're going to use the Supreme Court definition of sex, is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in the workplace has started a rumour to say that actually Georgia was born a man and has transitioned to become a woman.
That's horrible.
It's mean.
It's mean, yeah.
It's mean. And they've done so on the basis of her appearance.
Right.
So because she isn't overtly feminine in mm-hmm. the way that she would dress or perhaps express herself, which is absolute freedom to express herself however she wants to without someone, you know, making up cruel rumours. But because of the way she presents herself, this rumour has started that she wasn't born a woman.
Ruthless. I was literally saying to you in the meeting yesterday that in our little pre-meeting, our little pre-game meeting, that the amount that the whole like transgender thing's going on and it's becoming a real, it's at the forefront, isn't it, of like social discussion for the most part. It's got me like questioning people. Like, I double guess people now. I'm like, are they, do you know what I mean? Because it's like rife. It really is. It's like pushed on us almost.
It is. And I think it's, I always come from the standpoint, particularly in a workplace situation, that we just treat people as people.
Yeah.
You know, labels, identifications, how someone presents themselves in a workplace situation is in the most part irrelevant. I'm not going to discipline or manage or performance manage or take any sort of employment law related action different in one situation than I would in another purely because of the way somebody presents. I treat people as people. That is my minimum standard of behaviour. And I think that's what everybody should do. But you're right. I think there's been so much commentary about this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much in terms of extreme views on either side
mm-hmm.
that it does then very naturally as a matter of sort of, I don't know what the word is. Is it socioeconomics or, you know, social commentary, where you do, you know, you'll look at people and you will be asking yourself these questions.
Narratives are just created, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, is, you know, what is this person identifying as? Or, you know, there's a natural curiosity, I think,
yeah.
which isn't necessarily around intending anybody any harm or any offence, But I think it does spark conversation, which not everybody will take very well.
No, a lot of people aren't comfortable with it. It's crazy. Like 10 years ago, first thing I'd look at on a person and think about was like the trainers. Mm-hmm. I was 21, do you know what I mean? I mm-hmm. thought like trainers a lot. But nowadays, it's like questioning what gender they are. I don't want to blame the media, but I feel like they've had a part to play in it. That has been pushed on us.
Yeah, and I think since the Supreme Court ruling, which we'll come on to in more detail as we go through this, the question, it always comes back to toilets. I don't know why it does.
It's always
toilets. And whenever I deal with this from an employment law perspective in companies, you know, the first narrative after probably the most publicised judgment that we have had in the best part of a decade around sex and gender immediately moved on to the toilet situation. It's where it seems to automatically go, which when you say it out loud, it's remarkable that that's immediately where everyone's minds go.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if since that judgment, I'd love to know anecdotally, what's people's experience been? Have people been challenged more? Do people feel unsure when they're going into certain spaces to think, am I going to be asked, what are you? Who are you?
What are you?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's that we're in this weird situation where people are probably going to feel it's acceptable to do that. And I'm very much from the standpoint, if someone's not causing anybody any harm, it's you know, I'm fully on board with safety points, but if someone isn't causing anybody any harm, then leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder if then we'll now, following that judgment, see people being more openly challenging.
Where was it we went to? Was it the Manchester for the conference we went to?
Oh, yeah, we went to the IPD.
Saw my first gender-neutral toilet there.
Did you?
Yeah, never seen one before.
Was it perfectly boring?
It was toilet, mate. With gender-neutral one, though, yeah.
Yeah, just toilet.
It was same.
Just a loo.
We should ask some questions, shouldn't
we? Let's dive into it.
HR perspective. If an employee is underperforming but raises concerns about discrimination only when feedback is given, how should HR distinguish between a genuine bias issue and deflection?
So it's quite a complicated question, that. So I think what we're trying to get to the bottom of there is this person being picked on for performance because they've got a protected characteristic? Have we got bias from the line manager, mm-hmm. essentially? Or is it a performance issue and we've got someone raising a card? So where we've talked about this in previous pods, you know, is someone playing a race card, a disability card, the trans card in this situation?
The trans card.
Are we the first to ever say that?
Potentially, I've never heard it before.
Who knows? but yes, as HR, we need to be getting to the bottom of, is there a real performance issue here? If so, we can be legitimately addressing that. That's not a problem. But if it is line manager bias, which in this situation, Georgia is saying that she feels she is being treated differently because her line manager believes that she is trans, that she is being picked on because the line manager believes that she is trans, then that is an Equality Act red flag. That's potential discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, HR should be unpicking this situation. They should probably be having a chat with the line manager. They're going to be wanting to see what those performance concerns are, but also perhaps having a bit of oversight over the comms here. How is this person being spoken to? Is the line manager's treatment consistent with other people? Because we should not be singling people out on the basis of protected characteristics. And regardless of what people are saying about that Supreme Court decision, trans people still have protection in this country. The status of trans people hasn't been erased.
There was a bit of like panicky fallout from the trans community, wasn't there, after it?
There was, and it's one of the things I've covered in the shorts that we put on social media, is where we've dissected certain headlines. And there's one that I looked at where you've got someone at a rally or a march and they're holding a sign that basically says that, you know, the rights of trans people have been erased, or trans people as a group has been erased. That's not what the judgment has done. So now's probably a good time to get into that.
Go on.
What the judgment says is that in the context of the Equality Act, so one piece of legislation, we have protected characteristics. So these are the things that it is illegal to treat people badly because they have one.
I can name you if you want.
Go on, have a go.
I'll do it. Age.
Yes.
Gender.
Yes.
I've bottomed out there. Go on.
Disability, race, religion, belief, yeah. Marriage, pregnancy. You know, so we've got it. There's nine of them.
Mm-hmm.
So what the decision was when we talk about protected characteristics, sex discrimination is illegal. What the judges were deciding on, in the context of that law, what does sex mean? Are we talking about when we say someone is female or a woman, that they are biologically a woman, that is the gender they were born into, or if you are someone who has transitioned from male to female, are you classified as then that sex? The judgment said no. Sex, in the context of the Equality Act, when we're talking about sex discrimination, a woman is someone who is a biological adult female, and a man is a biological adult
male. Assigned at birth, yeah.
It doesn't include people who've transitioned.
You say that. You say it don't include them. It does, just in the way they didn't desire. Is that right?
So they still have protection, but just not under that. And actually, they do to some extent. So we'll continue to unpick it, because it gets more complicated. So say if you have someone who's born a man, they transition to become a woman, and they get a gender recognition certificate. So legally,
yeah,
their gender has changed.
Is it on their passport? It'll say like,
yeah,
F,
so they can, yeah, like they will have changed gender, yeah, yeah, legally. Yeah. They have their certificate. That person would not be recognised under sex within the Equality Act as a woman. However, they would have protection under gender identity. So you can't discriminate against somebody based on gender identity. So they are still protected as a group, mm-hmm, but not within that sex category. However, it gets even more complicated.
You've said however like
however.
Three times.
It's the law. It's honestly, this is just this.
Subsection 4.12. Yeah,
precisely, but just in kind of like normal human speak. However, if you have this situation where Georgia is a woman, and you have got someone who believes that she is trans. Now, if she were to be treated badly because someone actually believed that she was a man, she would have protection under sex discrimination. So let me give you another example.
Right, okay.
That might be easier to wrap your head around. Not being patronising.
This is complex. It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot.
So, say you have a man who transitions to become a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And within the workplace, no one knows this person has transitioned. The workplace believe this person is a woman.
Okay.
Biological woman, mm-hmm, under the sex definition, under the new ruling. And this workplace is not a very good workplace. They still don't pay people equally. They are paying men better than they are paying women.
Same role.
Same role, same work, they are paying the men better.
Okay.
So we have an equal pay situation here. If our employee were to bring an equal pay claim and disclose within those proceedings that actually they're a biological male who has transitioned, the fact that the employer believed that this person was a woman and discriminated against her would give protection under sex discrimination, even though she doesn't technically hold that protected characteristic.
Because she was discriminated against as if she
was. The employer believed that she was. So one of the leading cases around this, there's two. One of the leading cases was a man who brought proceedings because he was discriminated against because his work colleagues believed that he was gay. He wasn't.
Okay.
He was straight.
Right. I just can't imagine a world where that matters. But okay.
It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. He was able to bring those proceedings as a heterosexual individual, even though he wasn't gay, because he was treated badly because they thought he was.
Wow.
So it's this really kind of weird...
I'm plotting ways I can get you to think I'm a certain way.
Just so you can be discriminated against.
Yes.
So it's when we've got these really broad statements where people say the protection has been lost, you know, my status doesn't exist anymore, trans people have been erased. They haven't. Yes, the situation perhaps academically has changed, but there, mm-hmm, are still protections under English and Welsh law for people who are trans. The loss of the protection under the sex definition has deeply hurt some individuals.
Emotionally, though?
Yes.
Like, not in terms of... I mean, you've got to be of the same volition. Like, how many people with these signs really understand the small print, do you think?
Well, that's the problem, I think, because a lot of the backlash that we're seeing is wholly misinformed about what the law has done. And I can understand it from an emotional perspective for someone who does have gender dysphoria, who has been through probably several years worth of perhaps therapy and counselling and treatment before then having an operation, getting their gender recognition certificate, adjusting to life, battling discrimination for what they've been through, to then feel like they finally own the gender that they feel that was misapplied to them at birth, to then be told the law does not see you as the gender that you have now assigned to yourself.
But only in the workplace, really, because it's a workplace law, isn't it?
No, the Equality Act applies across the entirety of society.
Oh, well, I'm wrong.
So here's another mythbuster for you. If you go into Tesco,
okay,
and you ask where the free from range is,
which I do often,
which you'll do a lot, I'm going to apply this one directly to you.
Go on.
And the Tesco worker turns around. I mean, this could be any supermarket. Please don't sue us, Tesco. Tesco, Morrison, Sainsbury's, Asda, Waitrose, or Iceland, Spa. Any of those employees turn around and say to you, not another one of you damn weirdos.
Oh, heck. I've never heard that before.
It's enough that I've got to stock the shelves with normal flour, not to mention that now there's this free-from rubbish and it's all made up. And actually, if you went to see a counsellor, you wouldn't have horrific stomach reactions to the food. You'd be deeply offended.
Oh, God,
you'd be saying, right, I want to see your harassment and equal opportunities and equality policy because I'm going to make a complaint. If you were brushed off by Seven Supermarket, you could bring a discrimination claim that would be heard by an employment tribunal, even though you're not employed by the supermarket.
Right, okay.
It's the tribunal that hears Equality Act claims.
Just because it's against that employee specifically?
That's the way our procedures have evolved.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I remember, I mean, I think the firm that I worked at before I founded Heroes, he'll correct me on this, but my old supervisor at the time, I am sure he brought a claim against a supermarket for, it was either sex or maternity discrimination. I think they got someone $5,000-$10,000.
Wow.
For something that, for behaviour of a supermarket worker.
Let's go on to employee perspective now, because that's probably the most important part, isn't it? How they feel in this situation. Because just reading the email, I feel like Georgia is a bit of a... Well, she's the victim, isn't she?
Georgia is the victim here. So, yes, as HR sort of delved into this, she was being treated poorly because the line manager believed she was trans. So she was being bullied, she was being singled out, she was being discriminated against by the manager. And in this situation, I mean, I'm probably jumping towards the end where we talk about, you know, what actually happened. Mm-hmm. But HR were really proactive here. So the actual question that we were asked was, you know, how we deal with this sensitively, because HR didn't necessarily know.
It's a very new evolution of society, isn't it?
Yeah, they kind of knew what they needed to do, but how do we handle these conversations around someone who is trans? So investigation was done, found that the line manager's behaviour was absolutely appalling and absolutely was based on the belief that this person was trans and showed extreme bias, really did treat Georgia quite poorly, and he was dismissed.
Right.
It was gross misconduct, went through a disciplinary process, zero tolerance policy towards discrimination in the workplace. You are in a position of power, you abuse that power, and you have destroyed someone's experience in the workplace, regardless of the fact that she wasn't trans. And they dealt with it robustly.
Right,
he had also been through D&I training and had clearly ignored everything within that course.
Can I make a generalisation? Was this a middle-aged white man?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Shocker. So, incoming class action by all the white middle-class men in the UK.
There's loads of us.
So it's... They dealt with it really, really well
and robustly
in this situation. And really, when it comes to discrimination, you know, this has to be taken very seriously. We cannot have somebody ruining someone's workplace experience based on anything, not just protected characteristics. It's okay because it's not protected characteristic. It's still bullying.
Oh, of course.
Bullying
based on someone's appearance or...
Pending next course, bullying. When we've got someone who is singling someone out on the basis of a protected characteristic, big no-no. We have to deal with that robustly.
That's a red flag.
Following processes, we still have to go through an investigation, disciplinary procedure, do all the stuff that our software guides you through if you're not sure. What you don't want to do is deal with a cretin like this and trip yourself up procedurally and then have him suing you.
No.
You don't want to fall over the easy stuff. And procedural stuff should be easy. We should be doing this routinely. We should know our policies inside out, and if we don't, then that's why the hero system will handhold you through it.
God, that'd upset you, wouldn't it?
It really would. If someone like that is then able to bring proceedings because you've stuffed up procedurally.
A strong sense of injustice.
Yeah.
Employee perspective. I feel that I'm being treated differently at work because of the situation. Is it possible to request a different line manager?
I mean, requesting a different line manager, it's something you can ask for.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is something that I remind actually employers about quite regularly, is they'll say, well, there's a situation, we think things have gone wrong, employee wants this. If we agree to it, we have made a finding. If we change that person's line manager, we have decided that line manager's done something wrong.
Right.
Without having gone through an investigation, grievance process, mm-hmm. or disciplinary. So the employee really should be raising a grievance. Or even an informal complaint can be looked at in detail.
It'll be noted somewhere, hasn't it?
We've got to have the reasoning for why we have agreed that line management needs to change. If it's just, actually, you're not getting on, yes, we're going to move you, that's different. If we're saying, yes, we agree the behaviour's been inappropriate, we'll move you, that line manager's going to go, hang on, I haven't been able to have my say about this situation. I don't accept I've been treating this person unfairly. Actually, this person's the problem. They've been bullying their colleagues. They're not doing their job properly. They're late all the time. So I'm on them. I'm trying to sort stuff out.
Mm.
So we've got to get both sides. We've got to do an investigation before we take a definitive step. Because if we come to a conclusion and say, yep, something's gone wrong here, you've done something wrong, we have come to a conclusion without having done an investigation or gone through any procedural steps.
And you're on the hook then, aren't you?
And it's a really, really common mistake is the employee is like, oh, I don't want to raise a grievance. I don't want to cause any trouble. Can you just
move?
Can you just move around, me?
Yeah.
If we're doing that on the basis that, well, we're not accepting that your line manager's done anything inappropriate, but you're not happy, so we're happy just to move you for now, that is fine. But if you're saying, yes, we'll move you because your line manager is a cretin, you've got to go through those procedural steps first.
As well as that, like if you're just going to move someone just cause, like casually, mm-hmm. how many of their employees are going to put their hands up and go, hang on a minute?
Yeah, it becomes very difficult to manage. And particularly then, if you've got a line manager who is very robust, who is quite a robust manager, then if people can just be popping up saying, well, I want to be moved, I want to be moved, I want to be moved, it becomes unmanageable.
A false and harmful rumour has been spread about me that affects my dignity. Should I speak directly to the individual involved or should I go through HR?
So speaking to the individual directly is often advice that individuals will get. And often grievance procedures will say you should try and resolve things informally. It's another pet hate of mine where we get grievances raised about like the tiniest things. And you think, just go and have a cup of coffee and sort it out like adults.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's we're not at school where you need the teacher to intervene in absolutely everything. However, if we're in a situation where there is bullying going on, there's really harmful behaviour, or actually you feel very intimidated, someone doesn't necessarily have to go and resolve something informally. And that's something for HR to remember as well, is that if you have got someone who is presenting as quite fearful, you don't just push them back into that informal environment and go, oh, we'll have another go and then come back to me. We have got a duty of care to look after that person. And if they are coming to you and they're fearful about raising something with someone else at work, no one should be fearful.
That speaks volumes in itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, people have a natural level of anxiety sometimes about having difficult conversations, but that's very different to fear. And if someone is afraid of raising something with somebody else within the workforce, it's indicative of a culture issue.
You shouldn't be scared at work, should you?
No.
Bugger me.
No one should be afraid at work.
That'd be quite a daunting thing to wake up. I've never had that in my life.
No.
I've been like anxious to go to work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you say there, but not like scared. Last question from an employee perspective. Given the nature of the rumour, do I have grounds to bring a formal claim against the individual who started it or potentially the business? I imagine the difference is training here.
The difference is training, but also how the company responds.
Okay.
Which is going to be key from training as well. So we train companies on appropriate responses, how to run these procedures. In this case, the company did it by the book. So dealt with this situation really, really well in a legally compliant way.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the company's legal risk here is relatively low. When it was brought to their attention, they have dealt with it. And actually, there was lots of supportive stuff that was put in place for Georgia afterwards. So she was offered counselling. She was given peer support. So she was buddied up with someone.
Nice.
Spent quite a lot of time with HR in terms of sort of like one-to-one stuff, just making sure that, you know, she was fine in the workplace. Mm-hmm. As we have talked about previously, and again, this is something that's covered in the training, where you have got someone who acts outside of company training, outside of company rules and procedures, and they're basically a rogue employee, in those situations, that person could potentially have personal responsibility. So Georgia could potentially bring legal proceedings against that person as an individual.
Okay. But it's up to Georgia in the end.
To some extent. So what you often see is an individual will, they can't work it out. There are some quite complex legal principles around things that we call vicarious liability.
Right.
Which is where the employer is essentially responsible for the actions of the employees within the business. So what you'll often see is proceedings are brought against the company and the individual. And there may well then be preliminary hearings where it's decided by the judge who's going to be on the hook. And it might be that the employer, the business, goes, look, judge, we implemented training, we did this, we disciplined, we did all of these things. We are not liable for what that individual did. We dismissed him at the first available opportunity. We tried to correct the behaviour. We are not accepting responsibility for what he did. Judge might or might not agree.
But you're in a position to do that because of the training.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Which is why it's so key.
Mm-hmm. It seems to be like a recurring thing, doesn't it? But this whole like...
I mean, it sounds like we're just repeating a sales pitch. We are. No, I'm not. I'm kidding. It's so key. The only way that you are going to increase compliance and reduce your legal risk in a world where our employment law is going to be evolving so fast and there's going to be so much more regulation and so much more legal risk for businesses, one of the only ways that you can retain a bit of control over that risk is to train your staff.
Whether you like it or not, I'm afraid, yeah.
You know, and when people are reading the news and they're saying, I feel like employment law is going to run away with itself, I have no control, I feel like I'm losing control over legal compliance in my business and what that legal landscape will look like, training is absolutely critical.
Cover your arse,
isn't it? It's one of the only things we're still going to have control over.
Mm. Cover your backs, people. Well, we managed to navigate that quite well, I thought, without treading on any eggs.
We'll find out in the comment section. We will
find out in the comment section, but I feel like we've maintained a relevant relative level of like PG-ness.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose we didn't cover the stuff that people really care about. We didn't talk about toilets.
No, we didn't. My fact, I've got, I had a
maybe we'll do that on another pod, because actually, do you know what? I think there is a query I've got pending around since Supreme Court around the loo situation.
It is controversial as well. It's more of an American thing, but you read a lot about like young lads going into young girls' restrooms and committing certain crimes at their behest. Do you know what I mean? And there's pros and cons to every argument, isn't there? You can be as inclusive as you want, but if it brings danger to people, I feel like... perhaps over the line. Anyway, that's my opinion.
We'll cover the loo situation, I think, in a separate pod, because there's so much in that. And ultimately, we're going to be looking at things like health and safety in the workplace, what is actually mandated in terms of minimum facilities, and then what we look at when it comes to gender. And we even talk about things like how tall the doors are. You wouldn't believe long that we can rattle on about talking about toilets in the workplace if we really have to. So there we go.
I didn't know about the door height thing. But yeah, keep that in your back pocket for a future one. What happened here? The manager got dismissed, didn't
he? Got dismissed. So we went through a full investigation, disciplinary process, dismissed for gross misconduct. I think he threatened legal proceedings, was told to do one. And it died a death. That was it.
Never heard from him again.
Never heard from him again.
Well, hopefully he's got another job and he's a bit more educated around how to behave around certain people.
Darken somebody else's door.
Yes. That's it. All done.
I feel like, again, we've covered some really complex legal stuff. It was a real hot topic at the moment, so hopefully it's been useful for people. We might need to find some lighthearted ones for the next segment.
That's all right. We can we'll keep going with the controversial stuff.
Yeah, it's good to me.
It draws the viewers. That's it. Like, comment, subscribe. Cheers. Until next time, we're your hosts signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in and don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media or even HRER@heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect. But by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier, and more productive workplaces.